My name's Ben Newman, I'm an illustrator, and I'm the shape of a potato. When you spend quite a long time working on digital work, like I'll draw things by hand and then work them up through the computer. But the computer is a process, not as a means to an end. The idea of just pressing Apple Z and you can undo any mistake. I quite like when I paint is to make certain conditions for myself where I can't control the mistakes, and actually the mistakes become a part of the painting or a part of the image. So when I paint, I like to, rather than draw onto the wood, I like to sort of scratch into the surface. So when I do make a mistake or have to rearrange something, I can't get rid of that engraved mark. You know, it just becomes a part of the painting. And I find that by doing the painting work, it can sometimes quite often feed into maybe some of the work that I'm working on the computer and vice versa. So they're all part of the same process, really.
So this is the main book. This is the one about space, the first one we did. Frontiers of Space. So it's written by my friend, Dr. Dominic Wolleyman. He's a doctor of physics, and he works in Canada, actually, currently, on quantum computers.
And children's books.
And children's books as well, in his spare time.
When I started to do AstroCat was like a byproduct of working in a bookshop for about 5 or 6 years. And it was taking people to the non-fiction section. Like, the fiction sections in bookshops for children are fantastic. They're so creative and so varied. But I found that the non-fiction, the sort of science part of things, was a little bit kind of unloved. And there wasn't always a lot of variety there. And I found that with a lot of the space books, they were quite often sort of annotated photographs. And I felt like they'd lost a little bit of that sense of wonder that we had in space books for children in the sort of 50s and early 60s. So I sort of wanted to try and come back to that and take what we have as modern information now and marry that with no photographs, just, you know, simple colour, shapes and characters to kind of try and bring it to life some more. But it's about making the book a beautiful object. You know, it's about making things that aren't disposable, things that can be treasured or kept. You know, when people are clearing out their books, they come across it like, actually, do you know what, we're not going to throw that one. We're not going to take that one to the charity shop. We want to keep hold of it. It only enhances the sort of visual quality of the book. I spent a long time working on the Professor AstroCat book, working on other projects where I'm illustrating, you know, information and communicating visually. But with the paintings are just nonsense. They're just things that I just want to get out of my head for no real reason or anything like that. They're just things that I feel quite compelled to make. I've been quite lucky that I've got to travel quite a lot just from drawing, and whenever I go places I always like to pick up sort of old toys or just strange knickknacks. When I was a kid, you know, I loved toys, I always wanted toys. I don't think that's a particularly uncommon aspect of childhood, but I just don't think I ever really grew out of it. Just like odd objects, I like it if the arm's a bit broken, or, you know, the head's a bit chewed. You know, I like them to be a little bit dog-eared and have this sort of character to them. There's something very beautiful about a sort of loved child's toy, which I don't really like the toy if it's in good condition. You know, I want it to sort of see a bit of wear and tear. I used to do a lot of band posters when I first started out. Some of the first work I ever did digitally was to produce these animated backdrops for a band called Safety Word. I loved going along and taking part just as a spectator, that I kind of wanted to be able to sort of get involved, try and be useful, basically. So I thought by being useful, I could make posters for people. Music is a really important part. I mean, I'm in a room working all day, and I don't have a boss to tell me what I can and cannot listen to. So I think having that privilege almost makes you feel incredibly wealthy, not necessarily in money, but in being able to do what you want to do. And yeah, I listen to music all the time. You know, I listen to things from very slow heavy metal to quite sort of frantic, twiddly. To blues. Yeah, all sorts, really. I quite like a variation because I feel like as a human being, you have peaks and troughs in the day. And I know just the right music to put on to kind of lift myself back up and keep a sort of steady stream of work. One of the times I really remember being so excited as a child, I was on holiday down in Cornwall with my parents, and there was this little corner shop that just sold sort of sweets and sticks of rock and things. They got really, I just was really excited to go in there because they had this little stand full of American comics. And American comics were so hard to find when I was a kid. So if you found them, it was just like diamonds. You know, they were all printed on sort of uncoated paper. Sometimes the registration was off. I wouldn't even understand all of the words. I just wanted to look at the pictures. That sort of colour, that sort of saturated colour on paper that I really vividly remember as a child. American comics were a bit like the sort of holy grail for me. They were this sort of exotic import that you only occasionally found. They weren't in every single shop, they were only in some. And you almost would only stumble on them by complete accident. That really resonated with me as a kid. It made me want to draw comics, it made me want to draw creatures or characters, and I just didn't grow out of it. Now I'm a man in my almost mid-30s that draws cats for a living.